Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so many wonderful things to say to us, his people. He loves us so much. And remember, yesterday's broadcast, we covered the fact that that God always has a plan. And you have to get in on what he's doing. He has a plan for your life. You're going to love it. And it's just true. God has a plan, and he wants us to get in on it. He's active with what he's doing. And as we do get in on it, as we are, as we receive revelation and training. Now, when the word of the Lord come to you saying something, that's your, that's the beginning of promotion. How you handle that visitation and that word that he gives, that he relays, will determine whether you're going to get in on what he's already doing or not. I can't count the times the Lord will come to me teaching me something. Sometimes he taught me about the cycle of life. Now that's what I called it. That's actually what he called it. It was one of the best teachings he ever taught me about sowing and reaping. And everything works. It started with the first five commandments that he gave Adam. And he let me know that that's how he governs everything. He's fruitful, he multiplies, he replenishes. Then he subdues things, and he has dominion. And everything will be stable. Whatever you invest in, you got to see it through and have dominion over it. And sometimes people do parts of it. They are fruitful and they don't multiply. Sometimes they're millionaires. They were fruitful, then they multiply, but that's where they stop. See, every phase has another glory to it, another step, so to speak. But in God's house, it's not a step, it's a glory. The first glory is to be fruitful. The second glory is to multiply. See, when people, they take prosperity the wrong way sometimes. Prosperity, the problem with prosperity is that it enables you to do whatever you want to do personally. But when your life is surrendered to God and you're living in the confines of his love, then you have his heart and you do things that pertain to life and godliness, not selfishness and pride. And if your focus is on him, you'll automatically do what you're supposed to do. If you fill your heart with the love of God, you'll do his will. That's what you'll want to do. If you had a choice, that's what you'll do. But if your state of being is looking within, if your goals in life is to create pleasures for yourself, then the most important things in your life will be whatever it is that you feel will make you happy. And sometimes people do this with good things, but their focus is not on the Lord, it's on their family. Or it's not on the Lord, but it's on their activities, such as golf, fishing, racing, football, sports. And sometimes it can be a darker appetite, lust and greed. And these things carry men far away from the coast of the Lord. So, but when you have his heart, you'll be able to excel in his will that's already proceeding. And the Lord loves you so much, he'll guide you to do things in a way that you, all the things that's important to you, he won't leave it out of your life. Sometimes people, they think ministry is supposed to be the only thing in their life if you follow God. They think that the business of the ministry is the only thing that they live for. And that's why they're not as effective. See, in life, all right, we're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. We have to do things. It's our primary will to love God and know Him. If you keep that first love alive, you're going to always desire to know more about Him and what He's doing. But you're not just spirit. You're also a soul. And you got to learn some things to relate to everyday people. And there are things that people do that's amazing. I like to watch movies. I like good movies. And I somewhat like sports. Most people like sports more than I do. But I like activity. I like riding motorcycles. And I like doing fishing and shooting my pellet gun. I love to do stuff like that. So, but my life has been out of balance the last 20 years because I would work and do ministry. Work and do ministry. And I wouldn't really take much time for myself because of the needs. But that's not God's perfect will. You have to take a break. And in the latter years, I start taking the weekends off. But I would be so tired, all I'd do is watch movies. You know, I didn't get out and do activities like I desire to. But I do desire to do things. And sometimes in life, you're going to get to the point where you can be well-rounded. And that's very important to ministry for a lot of reasons. Because you're also a body. And you have to give yourself a break. Jesus showed us this. We work 6 days and you take a break. You enjoy the Sabbath. He had to tell. See, Jews were hard. They were very hard-headed coming out of Egypt. So he had to go the extra mile. You can't walk but 3/4 of a mile. The only time you can work is if your ox get in the ditch or something, an emergency. Then he had to tell the Jews, he said, and you can't do any servile work, because the rich people would have had the poor people bringing them drinks and delicacies, you know. The whole country could not work. And they had to observe the Sabbath, which is Saturday. And in our country, we observe Sunday, but that's it's a long story. But the Jews are supposed to keep the Sabbath holy. You have to take a break. And if you work all the time, you're going to stop being effective. And as a businessman, I can tell you, if I didn't take a weekend off, the next week would be foggy and I'd make mistakes. I wouldn't make good choices. But if I took a break, I come back fresh. And I make less mistakes and I'm more effective. And I finish my jobs faster. I can prove it. Well, I just got rid of my old tickets. But I had every ticket I got rid of when I cleaned my garage. I got rid of all that stuff. I had every ticket from the first job I took in 1986. And I had all those records. And if I laid them all out, there'd be a pattern to it. The weekends that I didn't take a break, you would see, on most cases, I made less money. And I made more mistakes. Nevertheless, taking a break is important to the will of God. Living, enjoying your family is important. Enjoying your friends is important. But see, how can a person do all these things? We don't always know how to do that. But the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, I learned these things because while I was learning, I started noticing a pattern of how God do things. He would give me a season where He trained me. And then He give me a season where He would use the training, and I would take that word to different pastors. And this was back in the early 90s. And it took me a long time to see the bigger picture. He would show me the need and he trained me about it, and what I and then he would give me wisdom what I was supposed to share, and I would write the word at home. I'd get to every church I went to, he'd be preaching what I wrote at home, because the Lord had trained me. Now the message was identical, but and it gave the pastor a reference of trust because they didn't know me. But the point was to follow God. Look to the Lord. Don't make plans. Let God give you the plans. Let God give you what he wants you to do. If he called you to the ministry, he has a specific for you. And if either you're going to do it or you're not. The only way to do what God really called you to do and be, you have to receive the whole plan from him, not part of it. And then where our location is very important. Now, God can use us wherever he needs to, but when he calls us, he has he's raised you up for a specific group of people somewhere. So sometimes relocating, only God can show you these things. No man can show you that. Location is very important, where he plants you. That's where you, out of all the places that you'll thrive, that's where you need to be. Even if it's not as productive as other people in other places, sometimes what God is raising up, sometimes in order to get the remnant and the greatest soldiers, you have to be at the selected spot from God in time to raise up an army of believers. See, a lot of times people looking at numbers. Don't ever look at numbers. That's irrelevant. God have always taken a few people and done great things. Once you have an established Christian that know the Lord, that knows the Lord, they will be strong and they will do exploits. They will stand when others fall. And I can prove it. But when people are strong in the Lord and they love him, and the Lord can tell them something and they'll do it without hesitating, they're on the road to knowing God, and they have strength, and they're gaining strength all along. Every time they study the word, they're growing stronger. Every time they hear new concepts that's new to them from the Holy Spirit, they're growing stronger. And a lot of people will flock to a church. Remember, the heart or the soil that has stones in it, the plant grows fast, but it don't have any roots. And I don't know what needs to happen to get people where they need to be except for following God on purpose. But when they do, the Lord will build on that strong foundation. And the more you love God, the better he can build on it. And the faster you'll act on what he's saying. But if people get distracted, well, the church isn't big. It's not like I thought. That's a problem, because it's not going to be like you think. It's going to be what it's going to be. But as long as God is guiding you and he's dialoguing with you and showing you what to do and you're doing it, that's the best you can do. How it looks is irrelevant, because God can do something. I know some things about the Lord I've learned from receiving messages like this. And I had the same questions any man would have. I said, Lord, look like nothing's happening. And then he, over time, he'll reveal to me what he's doing. And I'm included because I've been obedient. My problem was I didn't see till he exposed it to me. When he exposed things to you, now you know. So if the standard ever became people following God, ministry would look a whole lot different, but it would be a whole lot better. So our rescue is in him. And then he's not going to leave your soul man out. He's going to He's going to do things that will bless the soul, just like he does things to bless the spirit. And he's going to do things that will bless the flesh. You know, it's important for you. You know, the Lord came to me one time. He said, I want you to pray for something you want. He said, I want to bless you. So I always intercede for the broadcast. I know that God is moving in this stream, and I want more people to get in on it. He stopped me. He said, this time I want you to pray for something you want. And I said, Lord, you know I want that Mustang. They finally made a car I like. So bless me with that Mustang. I want the manual transmission and the 2.34 cylinder turbo, because it gets good gas mileage. And that's what I wanted. And I like that car for a lot of reasons. For one, it's light, it's balanced because it's not too heavy in the front, and it corners well. And it's fast. It's as fast as some V8s. But I don't race it. I enjoy driving. And I could have asked for anything, but that's what I wanted. Now, whenever I go somewhere, I'm having fun. And the Lord wanted me to have fun that way. And it helps. Now that I'm retired, and once I finish making all my adjustments to my garage, I'll be able to work maybe a 6-7 hour shift, and then I have time to do things that I like to do. I might be able to shoot my pellet gun for a change, ride my motorcycle, take my daughter to Oak Mountain, and we'll walk in the woods. I won't be so tired on the weekends that I have to sit in that chair. So a lot of things are going to open up over time. And I stand to make more money, and I'll be able to do greater things. Those are my goals. But the Lord, over time, you get to a point you'll be able to increase and do greater things. See, multiply is a glory also. And once you multiply in the stream of God, you're going to increase faster because your heart is towards Him. And when you give offerings, He's going to receive it, and He's going to trust you with more. And then you'll have to give. So you can refill the earth, or you can, when you see needs out there, you can do something about it instead of just praying. Praying is doing something about it. That's the best thing you can do. But you'll be able to give more, and you'll be able to be a greater blessing to people. These are goals from the heart of love. And then He'll show you how the next glory after that is subduing things. And then having dominion. See, we do these things publicly, and every glory you're faithful with, God advances you. What happens when you get to the point you can have dominion? Well, you were faithful with a few things, so God is going to give you something else to be fruitful with. And you're going to start the whole process all over again. You're going to continue to the stage where you're having dominion, and you're going to be able to be fruitful in another phase of life, and it's going to develop and prosper, and so on until you go on to be with the Lord. And it don't stop there, because we're still reading books from Kenneth Hagin. We still read the writings of Paul, Peter, James, and John. We still are utilizing what others has left for us. We're still standing on their shoulders. They did the groundwork, and we're still building. So whatever groundwork you leave, people are going to continue to build. Whatever books you write, people are going to... It never stops with God. When you look up in the night sky and you see all those stars, well, those stars are suns. Around those suns are planets. On those planets are people. He made things for a reason. He told me, He said, I'm still making planets and people. And Abraham couldn't count the stars when he was alive. And God is still expanding the universe. Even the scientists know that it's still expanding. So the legacy you leave, God gave us that inspiration. When you look up and see the stars, God has been busy for a very long time. And where does he get the wealth? Sowing and reaping. We prosper like he does. This works. And it's infinite. It's infinite. And guess what? We're going to get to live forever. Eventually, you're going to get to see God make planets and people. And rejoice, just like the angels did when he made this one. So, it's important to be in the handy will of God. When he's already in motion, using people that are mature enough to receive what he has to say. And when you're included, you just have to join in with faithfulness. Join in with faithfulness. See, God backs us up. Elisha said, when he was surrounded by the Syrian army, he said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes." And then the Lord opened his eyes. He saw the Syrian army surrounded by God's angelic army. And they were outclassed. And then Elisha smote them with blindness. And he had to lead them back to Syria. See, whoever Hazael didn't slay, Jehu would slay. Whoever Jehu didn't slay, Elisha would slay. Now he fed them. He fed the army and sent them back where they had to go. Now, I love fighting spiritually. When you fight spiritually, there are no casualties. It's all simple. It's all based on his might and his power. When we follow him, we're included in what he's already doing. And everything that we do, as we follow and flow with him, we make the right adjustments. And as we grow from glory to glory, the Lord will show you how to make the right adjustments. And adjustments can take a while. The Lord, you know, he'll always have you do what's most important for the time. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is being long-suffering. So the Lord was able to sustain me while it was necessary for me to do all the work I had to do in order to do the ministry that he gave and to keep it current. A lot of things were, you know, it wasn't the most ideal situation, but it was useful. And it was, I always had joy. You know, another important part. Now, I grew up in a neighborhood where I had good examples. My uncle, he wanted to be a doctor, and he worked in the mines to save up money to go to medical school. But when he asked his aunt for the money, because he was raised by his aunt, because his parents died when he was very young, she said, "What do you think we've been living off?" So now he had to continue working, so he went to business school instead. But he didn't get a job as a businessman. He worked at Stock and Valves, but he had the intelligence of a businessman. And he managed his money well, and he added onto his house. His house became like a resort. And every summer when the family would come, they'd come to his house. My mother's brothers and sisters, you know, and their wives, they come there and spend a week or a few days, you know. He had a swimming pool. I grew up swimming in the swimming pool, so that inspired me. I said, when I get a house, I'm gonna get a swimming pool. And one day my mama said, we're gonna leave this house to you if something happened to us. I said, "Mama, I don't want this house because this house can't have a swimming pool. I want a house with a swimming pool." That was very important to me. So when I bought a house, it had to have a swimming pool or enough land to put one there. And God blessed me with this house. It had a garage that I needed, and it had a swimming pool. Those were my two requirements. Me and my wife passed up a lot of nice houses, but this one was functional for the family. And when the years that I was spending working, two jobs basically, I worked the equivalent of two full-time jobs to do the ministry work. And God blessed me with the swimming pool, and the swimming pool really helped. It gave my daughter something to do. My daughter has special needs, and she loves to swim. She taught herself how to swim. So taking a break is very important. And as we grow from glory to glory, see, God think of everything. If I would have had if I didn't have that swimming pool out there, my life would be a lot worse. But it helped me to make it through. And it assisted me to be long-suffering until I could get to a point where my life can be more balanced. Now, he thinks of everything, and he's always going forward. But the blessing is he'll help you to do the most necessary thing, and that will propel you to get where you really need to go and where he needs us to do. And see, when people get saved, it changes the every time people get saved and start following God, it changes the dynamics. Now, our nation has done enough to be destroyed, but because people are still coming to the Lord, it changes the dynamics, and the Lord helps us to sustain. The abortions that have went forth have passed over 60 million, that's what I heard. And that mirrors judgment. So the war is going to happen. But we can delay it by, you remember, if there were 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't have judged it. So when people get saved and follow God, it always changes the dynamics. And when people love God, then that hinders the Antichrist from appearing. Perry Stone, the Lord told Perry Stone that he's alive now. So, but he can't come forward when the church is strong. The church either has to die or get raptured. I can't see the Antichrist coming with the authority that we have. But see, the Lord is looking at everything, and he's raising up people, individuals, that will be faithful. Don't think that there's not a revival. It's more than a revival. It's an awakening. God is reviving people that had fallen asleep, that want to do right. He's giving them greater hope, better teaching. He's using common, everyday people that will live his life on purpose and not hide the glory, not hide the light. He's raising up people that live according to his joy, and they follow the peace. If you want to get in on what God is doing, always follow the peace. If God stopped talking for whatever reason and you're not being guided like you once was, go back and find the peace. Find the last thing that he said, were you obedient with it? Did you carry it out? When the word of the Lord came to you saying something, did you follow through? And when you do, now heaven backs you just like Elisha and his servant. He said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. And he saw the Syrian army surrounded by the angelic army. Well, guess what? There is an angelic army around each of us. And for most Christians, the army of God is dormant because they don't get any commands. Now we're not like little tyrant kings telling angels what to do. They came to help us. If we see injustice, we're supposed to say something. If we see a storm coming, we're supposed to rebuke it. If the enemy is coming, all the prophecy that went forth about World War III. We're supposed to be rebuking that thing and keeping Satan at bay. If we see drug dealers about to start a fight, all we got to do is say, Satan, you can't hurt anybody, you can't kill anybody in Jesus' name. We can say it flat-footed or arch-footed, and they can't do it. The angelic army is involved now. See, when you say something by faith, it involves God. And you can sustain everything. until Christ comes. See, that's what we're supposed to be occupied until he comes. Imagine Jesus put you here in his place, and you're supposed to do whatever he would do. You're supposed to speak whatever Jesus would have done, that's what you're supposed to be doing, and you have the intelligence by the Holy Spirit. It's not about what you see. It's not about what people are doing. It's not about how most people think. Yesterday's broadcast was called Your Part. Now, God will give us wisdom. He'll give us counsel. He'll give us might. That whatever we need, we don't have to have it. But if we need something, then the Lord will make the difference. But you have to stand and be steadfast and unmovable about whatever your wisdom is to do. Find the peace and work it. Do what God said do. You're included in what he's already doing. And it's working. Even though and I guarantee you it'll look like it's not. But when you have the intelligence of God, you'll see that it's working. That's the best I can say. When you're doing what God say do, it's working. When God give you more of what he already told you to do, you can know it's working. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout our lives as we go forward doing the things that he gives us to do. He's backing us. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.